The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live, and I hope you're going to have a good time listening today. We were off yesterday because they had tech problems with the phones. That was it. And so he says, okay. So no big deal. We are in and live today, which is the 12th of November. So if you want to give me a call, it's easy. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Easy peasy. Now, you can also, if you want, you can email me, and that's at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. And in the subject line, put in radio comment, radio question. You can watch the show. That's easy to do. All you have to do is go to, you can go to YouTube and just type in Matt Slick Live. And you should be able to find me live. Not a big deal. Or Rumble. You can do the same thing. Rumble. / Matt Slick Live. All one word. And you can watch me sitting here. And then what happens afterwards, we have people who join us for an after show. We always do an after show. And we usually talk for half hour, 20 minutes, half hour, just about stuff. People call in. And they have other questions, too. And we talk. So there you go. All right. Now, let's see, get that right there. There we go. So yesterday I was, I do this a lot. I go online and just look for opportunities to teach, defend the faith. And we had this discussion. And two things I brought up in this discussion. I don't know if I've mentioned it here. I think I have, but I'm not sure. So I'm just going to do it again. When I was in on my 3-week tour of the Footsteps of Paul Bible Lands tour, two interesting things happened. When I got off the plane, my feet were swollen and it was a blood vessel in my right eye that had broken. And so the next day I called up my doctor here, and the nurse said, get into the ER, make sure it's not a blood clot. And everything was fine. And so I got to go into this ER, a Turkish ER, for 4 hours, and ended up talking to some guys. And and my friend Cameron was with me, and he went to the ER too, got back to the hotel around, I'm thinking, 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe, I don't know. And he was out witnessing to some Turkish guys using a phone with a Google Translator, and they were doing that for a couple hours. So there you go. Okay, that was one. It's not that big a deal. But the other thing is more significant. We were in Greece. We went to Thessalonica, where the book Thessalonians is written. We also went to Corinth later on. I gave a devotional there and in Thessalonica. But something happened to me personally. When I was in Thessalonica, it's not that big a deal, but we went to an Eastern Orthodox church, and I've got the video of it on the inside. They're having a service. I walked in, along with other people from the tour, and our tour guide, who's Eastern Orthodox, and so I walk in, and the first thing you see to the left were placed for candles. And it was, you did these candle prayer things. I don't know too much about them. And then to the left, to the right of the candles actually, but to the left, my left as you come in, there was a big painting of I think it was Mary, I'm trying to remember. And to the right was another painting of Mary, and you go in past these doors, and you walk in, and you see the pomp. This church had a lot of gold and a lot of silver and colors and stuff like this. There were people there for the worship service. And, of course, I couldn't understand anything. It was in Greek. And but I watched. They weren't having a formal service yet. They were getting ready for something. That's what I understand. And I watched as people would bow to the statues, to these icons, these paintings, kiss them, light candles, and all this stuff. And with that, combined with the richness, material with richness of the church, really sickened me. It appeared to me that instead of the riches of God dwelling in you, they were accustomed to the riches of the church around them. And what I interpreted everything as was Satan working in that church, the whole church, East Orthodox Church, with pomp, with lots of money, with icons, statues, candles, pictures, gold and silver, and saying that it connects back to the ancient true church. And I saw just deception. I saw a deception there. And I wanted to preach to them. Don't have the language, and God didn't give me tongues, so all I could do was go out after a while and walk out to the courtyard. And that's where I gave a devotional. And the tour guide was there, and his English was really good. He was a really nice guy. And so as Jesus says, you leave the flock and go after the one, and leave the 99 back there, I catered part of my message to him. And in that message, it was appropriate because it was part of what was going on, was the issue of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. That was about 3 minutes of the devotion, about a 10-15 minute devotion. And someone took a picture of him. He was quite upset, actually, because I was preaching and in this devotional. Okay, so all of that. Well, what is it that happened? Well, what happened was, in my heart, in this whole thing, it just rang so true. The need to preach that gospel, the saving gospel, the real gospel. Not the false gospel of the Eastern Orthodox Church, not the false gospel of Roman Catholicism, not the false gospel of Mormonism, the false gospel of Jehovah's Witnesses, the false gospel of Islam, but the true gospel of what Jesus had done. And it really rang true with me. I've always known it and believed it, but it was just that extra oomph. Maybe some of you have experienced that kind of a thing, something you've known and believed for a long, long time, and all of a sudden, for some reason, it's like the heat's turned up on it. And that was the case. It was a juxtaposition of the truth of the simplicity of the gospel compared to the paganism and traditions of men that were taking the place of the truth. And so I also, I was kind of segueing to something else before we get to the caller. Then we went, next week, we went over to the Vatican. To Italy, then we saw the Vatican and the pomp and the gold. It was just, it outdid the Eastern Orthodox churches by far, just incredible. The money, the wealth. So I was talking to some Catholics, and I think Eastern Orthodox were in the room, and a few days ago, and brought up this issue of the riches. And I brought it up before here, I think last week, the riches of the churches versus the riches of the disciples. Because these churches claim to be the true successors of apostolic authority. To me, it just sounds arrogant. You know, we are the true church. We have the successors of the true apostles. We have the truth. You got to come to our church. It's a bunch of garbage. And I was talking to these guys in the room, and I said, "So, if your church is the descendants and the authority of the apostles, let me ask you, did they gather wealth to themselves, the disciples? Is that what they did in the synagogues and the home churches? They made sure there were statues and icons all over the place, and crowns and gold and silver. Is that what they did? Is that the true church with the apostles who are in it? Did the apostles do what you guys do in your churches? And so I said, of course not. And yet you claim to be the true church with the true apostle, apostolic authority and succession. And yet you don't behave like them. And I said, there's no way. I said, there's just no way. You guys are of the apostles. You don't live like them. You don't preach like them. You don't teach like them. You don't act like them. Anyway, those are some of my thoughts. The need to preach that gospel. Boy. All right, let's get to Christopher from Raleigh, North Carolina. Christopher, you're on the air.
Hey. Hey, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. You know, the cough I've got is mostly gone, still there, but other than that, hanging in there, doing okay. Thanks.
Good. Praise God. Two questions, really. First, did you tell the Pope to repent when he went to Rome?
Oh, I wanted to see him so bad. I would have, hey, Mr. Pope, I got a question for you. And my question would have been, are all of your sins forgiven right now? Oh, I would have started to go. Oh, I would have, you know. In fact, in St. Peter's Basilica, there was a throne-like chair that was in this church. I forgot to talk about that, a throne-like chair. All this pomp and all this stuff around it, that's where the Pope, and only he, is allowed just to sit there. Oh, man, such majesty, such wealth, yikes. Such self-exaltation. Oh, the chair only he can sit in. Oh, that's so biblical. Yeah, right. I wanted to go sit in that chair and have someone take a picture of me, but I figured I'd probably get beat up pretty badly if I tried it.
So, oh, man, that's funny. Yeah. The reason I called, I just had to throw that bonus one in there, but the reason I called is I'm going to use this because it's a common word, but paranormal. And I don't believe in ghosts, so okay. I just want to kind of put that out there. I was kind of, like, curious in, like, biblically speaking, because obviously, you know, it's the truth, and we go off of that. But it's, like, I've never seen in Scripture and, like, an explanation of material objects being moved by immaterial beings, like, you know, angels and demons. So I just wanted to get your take on, like, how, like, I don't even know how to word the question, but, like, I guess, like, how is that even possible? I'm kind of, like, just kind of, like, in awe of, like, hey, like, this stuff happened, but, like, how, you know? So that's my question.
I'm not sure I understand the question. So,
So I guess the question is like, so angels and demons and people believe, you know, oh, this is a ghost of a loved one, which is not true.
That's correct, not true.
How I believe it anyway. Like how, for example, if there's like a doll, like how can this doll move by these spirits?
You mean you mean can a ghost? Or can a demon move physical objects? That's what you're asking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll tell you. We got a break, so hold on, and let's get to that right after the break. Okay. So hold on, buddy. Hey, folks. Be right back. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on here with Christopher. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Okay, so can spirits, demonic forces, angels, whatever, can they affect material objects? Is that what you're asking?
Not can they, but like how that, like, because it puzzles me. It's like, okay, these are immaterial beings that can move objects, and I'm like, I was like, whoa, how could this happen? And so I was just seeing if maybe you had maybe some kind of explanation or something. So
it's like saying, how does God move a door by his command and his word? He can command a door to move and it moves. How does he do that? We don't know. So how do angels, demonic forces, etc., how do they exert a force to cause an object to be affected? Don't know. We just know that they can do it. It's like our human spirit in our physical bodies. How is it that our souls can move our physical bodies? I don't know how it works. I know that it works. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to see if maybe you had, you know, some insight, maybe like there's a scripture somewhere or something. I was like, what the heck is the science behind this? Like, you know, I don't know. It was just a curious question. Yeah. But
I think you're looking at what's called the instrumental means. I'm not sure. I think that's what it is. But no, the Bible doesn't say, you know, that God has this immaterial force emanating out of his soul that he can focus with his concentrating eyeballs and make it, you know, and it works. I mean, I don't know what you're asking, but we just know that they can do things. They just can.
Okay? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They just can.
I know for sure that the Lord, 100%, but like as far as like lesser beings like the angels and demons, but okay, well, cool, Matt. Well, thanks for the answer. You have a good one.
Hey, you too, buddy. God bless. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. What do you think about what the situation is going on in Baku, or Azerbaijan, but the Christians have been persecuted, 120,000 Christians have been persecuted from Akasadak, and then also they're running to Armenia. Even there, they're trying to persecute them out of that country. So what could Christians can do to help?
Well, what we can do to help is to pray for them, for one thing, and offer financial support for varying needs. And then depending on how we want to get involved, you can start calling up a news station and say, oh, why aren't you dealing with this? Why aren't you dealing with and covering the atrocities that are occurring in these countries like Nigeria? The Muslims are going in and killing Christians. They're killing them. We have a missionary in Nigeria that we talk to on a weekly basis, and he tells us what's going on. And so, you know, we can support them financially, support them prayerfully. And we can, depending, we can, you know, if we think we have the ability, is to contact news medias and Senate and congressmen and say, can you, you know, bring this up? They're being murdered, you know. So that's the kind of thing I think we can do.
The same thing with the Jews in England, when they're being, a lot of them, I heard that they're watching one of the Christian networks on TV, that they're being persecuted too. A lot of them are planning to leaving out of the country because it's not really safe for them no more.
My brother, Christians are leaving England? Is that true? Really?
I heard them. So I don't know. Are planning to leave because it's not safe for them. Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
On the CBN, the news, you know,
really?
They're talking about it, but a lot of them are planning maybe to leave because it's just too dangerous for them. But they can't plan to leave England because it's no longer safe for them to stay there. Because the kind of people are trying to, you know, persecute them and all that. Yeah,
I don't know.
It's on CBN. Yeah, on CBN. I saw it on YouTube. Also, go ahead.
I said I'd like to have information on that, documentation, if that's the case. But what it looks like is England has been lost to Islam for decades, because they're having lots of children, and then the regular English were not having lots of children. So mathematically, England's lost. It's going to become a Muslim-dominated religion, and Christians will become persecuted there. They're going to flee. So I'm sure it's already happening to some degree, but we'll see.
Yeah, they got a big parliament already built in England, the Muslims got a big giant parliament that for years they had it. What do you think of my question I got? What do you think about the people complaining, one pastor out of North Carolina, about the God Bless U.S. Bible because they had the...
I can't understand you.
What do you think about the pastor complaining about the God Bless U.S. USA Bible that had the Constitution inserted. Well, there's many study Bibles out there that got footnotes and commentaries in it that did not inspire. They got picture Bibles. They got Bibles okay. where they got maps in them. So what's the big issue putting up?
I don't see any problem putting the Constitution in the Bible in the back. It's not part of Scripture. Just like you said, like pictures and maps and things like that, and the copyright stuff, which is in there. I don't see why it's a problem. No big deal.
So
it's good
why,
for people
so
to read the Constitution.
Yeah, because the Constitution has Bible verses in them, you know, right?
So, yeah, I've read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all of that, the Declaration of Independence. I was surprised at how many Christian principles were clearly woven into it. Yeah, it's worth looking at.
Yeah.
Reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know why pastors get upset about it. I mean, or Christians get upset about it. I guess they're biblically literate.
Some do, some don't. Oh. I prefer a Bible with nothing in it, just NASB with note pages, just blank note pages. I can do notes in the back. That's me. But some people like maps. They like all kinds of stuff. Well, maps are good, too. You can put maps in there. A lot of help stuff. Outlines and doctrinal statements. Hey, that's good, too. You know, why not put it in the back of a Bible? And so it's all stuff. Well, the Constitution was written with a lot of biblical influence on it. So, you know, you have a Bible with a Constitution in it, I don't have any problem with that any more than have a Bible with the Heidelberg Catechism put it in the back of it. Okay? So,
yeah. Yeah, because a lot of study Bibles, a lot of pastors promote their Bibles and they publish it and they got their footnotes or they got their commentaries in them. So, I mean, each pastor got a different view of a certain passage of Scripture, so nobody gets upset about that, really. I mean, they allow them to be printed and published, you know. So, I mean, different pastors got different points of view, like yourself. You got the Calvinist view, and you got other people got the Arminian view, and other people got different views of, and they insert passages and commentaries in the Bibles they got, and nobody gets upset about that. I mean, some people may jobs maybe, you know, but still they don't make a big issue out of it. So otherwise it makes a big issue, brother. God bless you. I mean, see, he was
you got any other hold on. You have another question though?
That's
another
it.
Question.
Okay, that's
no,
it.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah, that's
okay.
it. That was it.
All
that's
right,
it.
Brother.
I don't know if you heard also about what's going on with the energy. You know, if you heard on the news on the BBC, the man got caught just trying to promote fossil fuel over there in Baku. Sir John, so basically, instead of
I'm not following you there, and we got a break coming up right now with the music.
Okay.
So
okay, all right.
Okay,
all
buddy.
Right. All right, man.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, hey folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please give me a call 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Rusty from South Carolina. Rusty, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. What do you got, buddy?
Okay, so I voted biblical. I voted biblical, and I'm getting a lot of backlash on it, like, because it is people of the church. And they saying, and I know they voted race-wise, a lot of people. Mm. But when I say I voted biblical, I'm getting attacked from both sides anyways. But would I be wrong for taking up and explaining why, like, okay, like with abortion, I don't agree with it, but a lot of churches say it's their body, and they should be able to do what they want to do with it. But really,
so the baby in the mother is their own body. That's weird.
Yeah,
it's like slavery.
Yeah. It's the woman's body.
It's slavery,
and she should be able to do what she want with her body because it's her body.
Oh,
so my class,
so
I was in class
today. I could
today
rip into that so easily. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's so bad logic. But go ahead.
Right. So Okay, so I'm defending it. I'm defending for God, and I'm wondering, am I wrong? Because
no, you're right.
They not understanding when they say it's their body. That means, are you a Christian? I mean, because you're a Christian, that means you belong to God. And order is order. Like they think it's because people trying to own them, like husbands and wives.
Okay, well, you have a question.
It's not like that.
You have a question?
Yeah. So
what?
So, do you think I'm wrong for defending and debating today in class?
No, you weren't.
About why
stand up for the truth. Stand up for the truth, okay?
Yes.
And if they are voting based on race, that's sinful. It shouldn't do that. It's wrong.
Right. Hate
so,
is hate.
And if they're based...
And I told...
Uh-huh. Yep. But here's the thing. The reason Trump won... with just a mega landslide, 312 electoral votes. It was a shellacking. There's reasons for it.
Yes.
Yeah, you should know those reasons.
Like, confused, y'all would like to know. Like, okay, he was found guilty of 30 felonies. Like,
yeah, there's
what
a, it's
that
a kangaroo
mean?
Court. It's kangaroo court. Because I've seen plenty of judges and lawyers saying hey, these are trumped up charges, no pun intended. They're just trying to get rid of him constantly. Nobody else has ever done this to. And ask them, why is it they're only going after Trump?
Wow.
Why is it? Because Bill Clinton did stuff. What about Hillary Clinton?
Right.
Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
She broke laws all over the place with... with the emails, destroyed evidence, no charges, nothing, because the left didn't care. They only care about the conservatives. And what about Hunter Biden's laptop? And then the left said it was all it was all Russia hoax. It was not. It was true. And yet, are they bringing charges against Biden for knowing this stuff? No, of course not. Are they going to?
Right.
Are they going to when he gets out of office? Of course not. Yeah, they're hypocrites.
So I asked my teacher. I'm sorry. So I asked my teacher, did Barack Obama have to sign what he signed to go against the Bible? Did he have to sign it? It's like they, I don't know. Like, but they couldn't answer it. Like, or did he want to do it?
I don't know what that particular issue is, but. I would love to have been in a class like that. I would love to tackle every one of them. All of them against me.
Yeah.
It's fine. I say, let's talk. Let's do this. I was in a chat room in a virtual world room, and they were talking about Trump, how evil he was. And I just said, okay, guys, I'd like to see the documentation for these things that you're accusing him of. I mean, I'm sure it's out there. And they just became vitriolic, accusatory, vile. Loud, angry, and I just was calmly saying, "Well, okay, but I see the documentation for this," and they cussed me out and kicked me out of the room. And so, you know, it's all you have to do is say, "Show me the documentation. Show me where it's the case. Show me these things."
Right.
And I would like to see what people would email me. Yeah.
So then they said that they don't make no big deal like when the pastors. Or sleeping with church members. I said, it don't supposed to be like that, because if you're a body of Christ, you're supposed to, like they saying that people that are homosexual, which I love everybody, they should be able to be anything in church. They won't. But I said, once you become saved, the word is what's going to change you. There's no way you can stay the same. And
that's
I know
right.
that from living.
That's right. You know, when I've talked to people who base, you know, voting on race and they claim to be Christians, and I say, well, there's only one race. It's the human race. We're different colors, different sizes and shapes. Where are you getting this race stuff? It's not in the scriptures. You're listening to the devil.
Right.
That's it.
Yes.
No.
Well, yeah, I feel better now. I just wanted to get that off my chest and see, and but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. Just good for you, and stand up for the truth. Okay, just stand up for it, and you've got to understand that when you stand up for the truth, you'll be persecuted for it. That's just normal. All right? Okay? All right, man.
Yes.
Okay. All right, brother.
All right, thanks.
All right, God bless. All right, let's get to Jay from New York. Excuse me. Jay, welcome. You are on the air.
Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, you think you're so slick.
Yes, I do. Hey, is this the Jay?
Really do.
Wait, go ahead. Go ahead.
You really. But anyway, I've got a couple questions. The first question is about elongated prayer. All right, you know about the situation where you're with somebody, let's say you're out to have a cup of coffee, maybe get a pizza pie, and your friend says, hey, would you mind I say grace? And you say, yeah, sure. And then they lead into some sort of sermonette, like miniature sermon while they're in the prayer. Yeah. Let me get you with one. Should I just like interrupt them abruptly? I have my own means of kind of letting them know, hinting at them that it's too long, but I want to hear what you say.
This is Veckel, right? You're Veckel, right? Right, buddy?
Yeah. Yep, you got it.
That's right.
Got it.
Yeah. Hey, folks, I've known Veckel for years. We met 10 years ago or so, and Veckel's a good guy. We call him Veckel. He has the same warped sense of humor that I have. We got along so well. It was awesome. Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's like, you know, you're praying over your food. Thank you. And you pray. And yeah, 5 minute sermonettes. Like, dude, I'm dying of hunger here. I'm come on, you know. So then I don't want everyone to pray again because they're going to, what's going to happen? So that doesn't sound too spiritual. But I think people need to use wisdom. When you're just at a meal and everybody's there, don't entrap them into forcing them to be quiet and in a prayerful spiritual mood and hear your words of wisdom. Just ask the Lord to bless the food and you go forward and go on. That's what I would say. But yeah, okay. That's right. That's what we did when we had lunch. I remember.
So no advice on while they're praying, like, is it wrong to just kind of interrupt them, or what? Or do you have a tactic of yourself, of your own?
Yeah, you just cough really loudly, and so that everybody, you know, jumps out of their chair. And that's one option. And the other one is you call yourself on your phone and have it ring. If you could do that, I don't know. Start praying. Start praying. Lord, would you please have this guy end it, you know, sometime this month, you know. I don't know. I've been in situations like that. I'm like, oh, man.
Come on.
You know, but then if you complain, you're not spiritual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I have my own tactic, but I'll share with that another time. I know you got other callers, but...
No, we don't have any other callers. No, we don't. I want to know, what's your tactic? What do you do? Kick them in the shin?
My tactic is very similar to something what you said earlier about a loud cough, but what I do is kind of like give like an elongated and highly unnecessary loud sniff, you know, kind of like when... Kind of like what my dad would do when it's like he let us watch cartoons at night, and then when it's time for bed, he would always give us this loud sniff to let us know that okay, he's getting ready to tell us that it's time to go to bed. You know, so he'd be like,
"Well, hey, you know what?
All right,
yeah, I got you."
Yeah.
But you know what? I got another idea. After the break, I'll tell you another idea that I think would be a really good one. Takes a little practice, but hold on, okay, buddy. Okay. Hey, folks, we have. Nobody waiting other than Jay here. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the last segment of the hour. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. All right, Jay, you still there?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yeah. Now, here's an idea.
All right.
You see, I was thinking, this could take some practice, though. If you could verbally, you know, with your mouth, imitate a large stomach growl, that would be good. You know, just like that. But you got to throw your voice down there, you know. So I don't know if that would do it. And or another option would be to pass out from the, you know, from food deprivation. But, so okay, I don't know. These are ideas you would appreciate. You know, I get you. You know, because you know, I think it's good.
Right. Mm-hmm. I guess on a more moral aspect of it is like, is it unbiblical for us to interrupt a let's say the prayer is sincere, but it's just too long. Is it unbiblical for me to say, all right, come on, take it easy. Let's get some food.
Well, after the second hour, I think it's time to interrupt. But I would just endure it, and then if it's a persistent habit of this one individual, I would go talk to them and say, look, can you just keep, you know, trying to be really nice, just keep the prayers down to less than a minute. Just it's just food we're praying for, you know. We're not asking for, you know, a peaceful harmony of all universals in the world and through all the political systems, you know. So that's me.
Yeah, I've grown into the habit of, if I'm with the same individual, I just say, hey, we're going to say grace. Or they'll say, hey, I'm going to say grace over the food. And I say, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sometimes what I'll do, because I'm kind of the spiritual leader wherever I go and my groups of friends and things like that, you know, default. So it kind of falls on me to pray and stuff like that. So dinner a lot, I just pray, you know, Lord, and just give a 30-second prayer, and that's it. Let's eat. And not trying to be non-spiritual, but not trying to hold people captive, you know. That's all.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was kind of conflicted about that for a few years, and I wasn't sure if there's a right way or a wrong way to do it, so...
Get a rumbling of the tummy, record on your phone. You put your phone down by your lap, and then people can go, you're telling people how to be unspiritual. Well, maybe just hungry. So I don't know. Yeah, go talk to the guy afterwards.
Up knows my heart and my stomach. Right.
You know what would be bad though? You know, really would be bad if you and I are sitting across a table. And the head of the table, the guy's going on for 3 minutes, and you and I are giving each other, you know, side eye looks. Like, yeah, we'd be having trouble trying to keep quiet, you know.
Yeah, which I have done, to be honest. I've done it with my wife. We were sitting at a table with some friends, and the prayer is kind of long, and I kind of, you know, just peek at her. She wasn't looking, but I was looking at her to see if she noticed too. I have done it as well.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
Real quick, so my other question is about the meltdowns that we're getting from a lot of the liberals on TikTok and stuff like that. In my honest opinion, some of it seems to be just them being babies, but I think other cases there's some sort of spiritual, maybe even demonic activity going on. What's your thoughts on that?
I saw some women who, some videos that people were collecting, they're actually threatening to kill white people, and they're white women. One woman said she's going to get a gun and she's going to find somebody, and she's calmly saying it, I'm going to kill him. That's what she's saying. And out of South Korea, there was what's called the 4B movement, and the B is for four words in Korean that all start with B, where the women there, I don't know the history of it, but they would deny their husbands of certain privileges and rights and things like that in the protests or whatever. And so now they're saying, let's do the 4B movement. And so these women are trying to punish men for voting for Trump, and which I think is a great idea, because these women, they won't procreate that way. I think it's a good plan. Okay, that's good. So I don't have a problem with that. But I've seen meltdowns, crying. They're diaperinians. You know, they're man babies and women babies. It's like, gee whiz, leave the country if you're so upset. Go away. You know, go to another country. That's fine.
Diaper minion. Yeah.
Piperinians. That's right. And it looks like Trump's going to take the Republicans are going to take the House. They've already got the Senate. This means if that happens, heads are going to roll, which I hope they do. The DOJ will be gutted and cleaned out. The FBI hopefully will be gutted and cleaned out. And we'll get the illegals back out of the country and let them come in legally, lawfully. He wants to reduce. Oh, I saw a video yesterday of a guy who said he listed out all the things that have already improved since Trump was just elected. I mean, in fact, my crypto has gone up 25%. 25% in 3 days. 3-4 days. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And and Hamas is ready to quit. Putin, you know, Russian guy Putin, he's ready to talk peace with Ukraine. There was this list of like 15 things. The stock market is going up. Everything. Why do you, and I asked him, why do you think that is? Because if the Democrat, Kamala, the Marxist would have gotten in, this stuff wouldn't have happened. Things would have gone the other way.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I could talk all day about this situation and the positive stuff that's happened within the first 48 hours of the election. But, yeah. Maybe next time we'll talk more about it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's do that. All right, buddy.
All right.
Hey, man.
Thank you for my call. Take care. God bless you.
Oh, you too. Yeah. God bless. All right, let's get to Mitchell from New Mexico. Mitchell, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. What do you got, buddy?
Good. Well, I had a question about the classes that you guys offer.
Okay.
I saw the link recommended from one of my buddies, and okay. I asked around, and they said they kind of recommended. So I ordered them a few weeks ago, and I'm just curious how I go about getting them, actually, because I haven't seen anything yet in my email or in my account.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, well, here's what you got to do. Just email us at info@carm.org and just say, 2 weeks, whatever it was, I got the schools and I can't access them. Just say that.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And we'll know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I sent a couple emails.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm trying to, so I was like, yeah, I'll call in. He's live okay. Right now. Let's see what happens.
That's right. Tell you what, you email right now again. And put in the subject line, Matt said, call about the schools, and I'll know that's exactly what that is. So okay. So I'm really concerned about that because we had it's called a Cloudflare. People will know what that is. It's a service that millions of websites use, and it prevents DDoS attacks and stuff. Anyway, so we had a problem with that mm-hmm. related to the schools. And so we went in, and it was supposed to be having been fixed altogether, supposed to be a week ago, absolutely taken care of. I even went through two of the schools and fixed all kinds of things, because you can't edit your own stuff. So this is it's an important concern. I want to make sure we get right on it. So you do that, and I will make sure it's taken care of by tonight. Okay?
All right, man. That sounds great. Yeah, because I'm just... I'm really excited to start learning on more about apologetics and
good.
Kind of being more disciple to other people and like actually explaining.
Well, good. That's what the schools are for. That's what they're for.
Absolutely. Sweet.
Yeah. And they're right. supposed to be working perfectly.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah. So you probably we had a problem there for a couple, 3 weeks, and I was in Europe during that time. So we really couldn't do a whole bunch. Things like this manifested, but we're on it, all right? So email me, and we'll contact you. Okay, we'll take care of it.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Let us know. God bless.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Well, that's what we see. We want to know if there's issues, so I'm really appreciative of that. That's good. All right, let's get to Elijah from Pennsylvania. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I just wanted to... talk to you about some politics for a little bit. So,
sure.
So what I recently discovered is that most Democratic women, not all of them, but a large majority of them, the reason why they continue to vote Democrat is because they believe that they have the right to murder their babies.
That's one of the reasons. Yep.
Yeah, that's like one of the main reasons.
Yep. They've been taught lies that it's just their body. If it's their body, then does the pregnant woman have two heads, four arms, and four legs because it's her body? They don't think like this. And the life in the womb, I ask them, is that human or is it not human? Well, if it's not human, is it okay to transplant it into a dog, the womb of a dog? You know, it just asks these questions. They don't think, and the reason is because they're dead in their hearts, they're wicked in their hearts, and they want to kill the life in them for their own convenience. So yeah, so they're going to vote Democrat. That tells you what the Democratic Party's about. Yep.
Yeah, and I had just jumped on a few minutes ago when you was talking about how a lot of them want to start the 4B movement where they don't have sex with men or against getting into relationships with men.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine by me because I'd rather date a Republican or an independent who loves God, loves the Second Amendment, loves America, you know.
Right.
You know, I don't want a woman that hates any of that stuff.
That's right. It reminds me one of the things about my wife before we got married. You know, we're dating for a while, and I saw her with children, and it was one of the most attractive things to see her being that good with children. And we got married, and then we had a son. While she was pregnant, we found out that he had holoprosencephaly. He's going to die when he's being born. And they said, you want to abort the baby? And she politely but firmly jumped on that nurse and said, please don't ever bring that up again. I mean, wow. That's what women need to be like. Not the, it's inconveniencing me, so I'm going to kill it. Yep. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Well, wait, you said that if the baby was birthed out, it would have died immediately, or it would have died later.
He did die. He died after being born and died in her arms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And it's about 30 years ago, and God's used it to open up doors and talk and witness to people. But look, man, the music's gonna start in like 10 seconds, so we're out of time. This is a topic worth discussing. You ought to call back tomorrow. We could talk about it some more.
Okay.
All right, sure. Elijah?
No problem.
All right, man.
All right.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Okay, God bless.
Have a good one.
You too. All right, everybody. There's the end of the show. That's the music. May the Lord bless you and by his grace. Back on there tomorrow. And if you're a woman who has had an abortion, know this. Jesus can forgive you. Turn to him. The gospel, the cross, the shed blood of God in flesh is big enough and strong enough to cleanse you completely. Turn to him. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.